is the 23rd Psalm, and I'd like to read it out of the King James, because any other translation doesn't seem to really cut it for that particular psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's pray one more time. Lord, we do thank you for the celebration here this morning, for the celebration of accomplishment. Lord, we ask now that you would help us and help us to hear your word, and may it apply to our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm glad to see that the Summit Seekers survived their week in the woods, and everybody's come back safe. Whether they came back sound or not is another question. You know, there's a lot written on how to survive in the wilderness. You can find all kinds of manuals, Boy Scout, Girl Scout manuals. These kids survived mosquitoes and deer flies. I don't know if they bothered you much. I don't know if you had any problem with ticks, but they can be a real hassle sometimes. They learned how to hike with tired feet and blisters, and some of them with some real aching muscles. They survived the food. Did you? No complaints on food. Great. Sandy's glaring at me. Gosh. You know, they slept. Yeah, I survived the bike trips. That's right. Actually, the food tasted real good. They travel you for 100 miles and then they feed you. You don't eat anything at that point, but it was always good food. We'll be practicing forgiveness now. But you look at, they survived. They survived all the different things. But you know, the real test of survival is not necessarily out in the woods. The real test of survival is coming in a couple of weeks when they have to go to school. That's where the real survival test comes. That's survival. The test for us is when we get out of the church and we go into the world, we get into our workplaces and we go various places. We need to learn how to survive. They're going to have to survive buses and homework and bullies and all kinds of stuff, cafeteria food. That's when you can really start wondering. Peer pressure, and have to deal with good teaching, but also some stuff mixed up with teaching that they have to discern. We all need to learn how to survive in the real world as we face things. And we need survival tactics at work. We need to learn sometimes how to survive in a family. And we need to know how to face whatever it is that life seems to throw at us. So today what I would like to do is talk about survival. And I didn't call it survival of the fittest, I call it survival of the faithful. And what better teacher can we have than David? David was a survivor. This guy can write the book on how to survive wild animal attacks. He says, I used to protect my sheep from the bears and the lions and actually open their mouths and take them out of there. He could teach a class on self-defense and how to withstand somebody attacking you with a knife. Saul used to one time attack him with a knife when he's playing the harp, when Saul would go into one of his rages. Talk about bullies, self-defense with a giant. 9 foot, 10 foot tall, Goliath coming at him. He learned how to survive that. And he learned how to survive in the woods as he was chased by Saul later on in this, by his son Absalom. This guy could write the book on survival. And so what David did is he wrote a little tract on how to survive. And that little tract is saved for us in Psalm 23. It really contains, you never knew that, it really contains the secrets that you need to have in order to survive. And so what I'd like to do is go through this psalm and help you know what those survival tactics are. And I got my handy dandy backpack for my little girls. The first thing that you need to know in survival is provision. What I have here is a mess kit. Where's the food, right? How am I going to be taken care of? You need to know that. And David found his provision in the Lord when he wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You see, David found his provision in Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh means Yahweh will provide for me. He knew where his provision was going to come from. He had to find that. A person shared on Wednesday evening, I had him fill out some notes and give me some illustrations, so I'm going to be using those illustrations today. One man talked about Peter, his name is, learned that he also had to trust in the Lord for his provision. He talked about how it was during the difficult time when he had hurt his back and he was out of work and he had next to no income, but yet there's still food bills, the rent still is due, all the utilities are due, the kids still need clothes, and there seemed to be countless bills. And yet somehow in the difficult times, he learned like David that there really is a shepherd, that if you follow him, you shall not be in want. He learned about Jehovah Jireh. The second provision is a pillow. That's a little pillow. It's for my dolls, my daughter's dolls. What would I do without my kids, you know? See, you need to know where to find rest. You hear a lot about burnout these days, don't you? A lot of people suffering from burnout. We all need rest in order to survive. You cannot go hiking, you cannot go through this world without having some place where you can find rest, where you can lay your head, where you can find this. He knew that Jesus, or the Yahweh, Jesus, is Jehovah Shalom, which means Yahweh is my peace. So David understood that he needed to find the place. He wrote in his manual, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters." Tim learned this in one of the craziest places that you could ever imagine to learn peace, Jehovah Shalom. He learned it in New York City. It truly is. If you've ever been to New York City or lived there, it truly is the city that never sleeps. You could hear all hours of day and night cars honking their horns and sirens going off. And no matter what time, I got up one time when I was with a friend of mine, 3 o'clock in the morning, there's still crowds of people walking around New York City. It never sleeps. Constantly crowds and being jostled about, and you get in there in rush hour in the roads and you take your life in your hands. And there's all kinds of people on the sidewalk doing all kinds of crazy stuff, you know. But it wasn't until he was in New York City that he learned about Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is my peace. It was during that time in his life when he gave his life over to the Lord. In the middle of all this craziness, not just the craziness out here, but the craziness in here and in our hearts. When he gave his life over to the Lord, he learned the survival tactic of trusting in the only one where he could ever find rest, Jehovah Shalom. The next thing you need to survive is, let me see what if I can find it here, healing, first aid cream, okay? You need to know where to find your healing. We invariably suffer wounds along the way. We didn't hear any battle stories. I'm sure you could tell them. Bumps and bruises and scrapes and twisted ankles and all kinds of stuff. We all find that we get wounded along the way, don't we? But you know what's far worse than the physical wounds? It's the wounds you can't see. The physical wound, you can say, "Hey, you need a doctor. We need to get something for you." But it's those wounds that nobody else can see that need to be healed. David knew where to find his healing. He wrote, "He restoreth my soul." He restoreth my soul. To David, God was Jehovah Rophaka. And this means Yahweh will graciously heal me. And on Wednesday evening, someone shared on the sheet of paper I gave him how she had to go to God for healing for her heart. She had been in an abusive relationship. Her husband was very abusive to her. And it wasn't outside wounds that really took their toll over the years. Those healed. But it was the inner wounds that nobody else can see that she eventually knew that she would have to go to God for healing. You see, she had to learn to raise her children without a husband and to watch and grieve as her children are being raised without a father. and how to pull that whole thing together. That caused a lot of hurt in her life. And she knew that unless she got healed and went to Yahweh for her healing, she would not survive. And that's exactly what she did. The next thing that you need in order to survive is a map. Right? You got to know where it is that you're going. If you don't know where you're going, you're going to get lost no matter what you do. It's easy to lose your way these days, isn't it? Seems like everybody's telling you that anything's okay. Take whatever path that you want. Could you imagine if with a summer seeker, you say, hey, go ahead, guys, just wherever you want to go, you know, just have some fun. Mount Washington, we'll see you in a couple years, you know, if you happen to survive. And it seems like the good paths these days are getting harder and harder to find. The lousy paths, the paths that lead to destruction are wide, as Jesus said. Seems like that's where everybody's running these days. And a lot of people are losing their way. They don't have a map anymore. They don't know where it is that they're going. And so David knew the one who would keep him on the right paths. He knew that God was Jehovah Zidkenu. That's a Hebrew word. It means Yahweh is my righteousness. He wrote, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Who are you following? Where's your path leading that you're going on your life? If you took a map out, are you going in the right direction? Where's it lead to? Is it off the end of a cliff? Is it into further wilderness so that you're going to lose your way, being lost morally? Many people are losing their way because they don't have a moral map. But even more than that, than a moral map, we need to know the guide. And isn't it so much better to go on a hike or a journey when you have the guide with you? Because he would lead us in paths of righteousness. Anybody that thinks that God will lead them in bad paths doesn't know the Lord at all. Someone wrote on Wednesday evening, when I followed the Lord, I found life so much easier to live and a happiness I could never put into words. You see, sometimes we find ourselves agitated and having a difficult time in life because we want to forge our own way. We're going to do it my way and no one else's way. We're going to go, nobody's going to slow me down, you know. I'm going to go in my own direction. And so, all I say when I see that happening with a person, youth, or an adult, hey, eventually you get tired. You're going to get scratches all over you. It's going to take its toll. Isn't it so much better when you know the guide? You have a map to where you're going. The next thing, this is a real staff. A beaver made it for me, honestly. It bit off both ends, took off all the bark for me. I found it down by the river. We need a staff. You see, we need to know where to go to find help. Shepherds use staffs like this all the time. They could, you know, with this thing, you could beat off wild animals, right? That's what they would do. Bear comes next to my sheep. Watch out. He could guide a sheep that's straying, you know. Get over there. Get over there. Come on. And hit them a little bit and get them on the right paths. A shepherd would have a staff that would help them. And Moses was a shepherd for 40 years. And he had a staff also. And God took an ordinary staff that he used as a shepherd, and he gave it back to Moses, and he said, this is a symbol that I will be with you. And I bet David understood that when he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David survived by finding this help in God. He called him Jehovah Shammah, which means Yahweh is there. There are times when life seems to be closing in on all of us. The valley of the shadow of death is a time in your life when you think that nobody knows you, that God has forgotten your name, and he doesn't know you. It's like he turned off the light and locked the door and left you in the dark. But we know the truth in order to survive. That Yahweh is with us no matter what. You know, Amanda wrote on Wednesday evening about the time when she was a child, sleeping over her grandmother's house, and grandma still had an outhouse out back. And he had to use the outhouse. Now some of you people remember what that's like. In the middle of the night, having to get up and go to the outhouse. Now to a child, this is a very frightening thing to do. And she would get up and have to go to the outhouse, and on the way she'd be afraid in the dark that the wolves would get her. And it may sound silly to us adult ears, to a child it's very terrifying. And she said as she would be going out into the outhouse, she would start singing. You know what she would sing? I knew that you were going to sing it this morning. I knew it. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. And after she would sing this on her way to the outhouse and on the way back, she figured God can lick any wolf that would ever come near her. You see? She learned how. What a valuable lesson for a child to learn. And as she goes through her life, as she faces the real wolves, and as we face the real wolves, we must remember Yahweh Shammah. The Lord is with us. The next thing you need, just a few more, matches. And what these symbolize is protection. You can't go surviving in the woods without some matches, without a fire. You won't live very long, and a fire at night is good because you all can rally around this fire. You can talk together to keep the wild animals away. It keeps the enemies away. And we all have enemies at school, at work, in the neighborhood, sometimes even in our own homes. And David knew what it was like to have enemies. I mean, only as a teenager, when he went to face mighty Goliath. Think about it. Here's all the armies of Israel up on the hill, and here's Goliath standing there, the prince of his people saying, come on, anybody want to come down and fight me? Let's see what you got. And they're all shaking up there because he was a monster of a man. And here's David. Could you imagine a little teenager? Now, he wasn't conceited. He was confident. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he dares defy the armies of the living God? I mean, think about the confidence that is in that. I just love that. He knew who would protect him. And he went down and told Goliath, listen, he saved me from the bear and he saved me from the lion. And today God is going to deliver you into my hands. And Goliath rushed at him, and all he had was a little rock and a slingshot and got him right in the forehead and killed mighty Goliath. He knew where his protection was. And later he wrote, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. David knew as God as Jehovah Nissi, which means Yahweh is my banner, the war banner. Even in the presence of mine enemies, God will be there. And one person shared on Wednesday evening how people make fun of them at work because they know that they're a Christian. You ever have somebody make fun of you? You ever been persecuted for righteousness' sake? It's not much fun. But yet they know. They rally around God. They have their protection with them. Their survival. Two more? Soap. We need to know where to go to find cleaning or cleansing. Don't we? They know this on the trip. I remember on the bike trips, you know. They give you a cold shower with the hose. Oh, that at first it would feel terrible, but then it would feel so good. To get all that road grime off of you, to get all the dirt from the day of hiking off of you, it just feels so good. But what about the dirt you can't see? What do you do with that? Wouldn't it be nice if you could just take a shower and get rid of the sin? Wouldn't it be nice if you could just scrub it off? It's like Lady Macbeth and Shakespeare. Remember that? After they committed that crime, she still had the blood in her hand, and no matter how much she washed, how much she tried, the blood was still there. No one else could see it because it was in her heart. What about the sin you can't see? David knew sin, didn't he? Sees this lady, what's he doing? Getting up in the middle of the day. When the kings were off, usually off to war, he's looking over and sees Bathsheba bathing. And so he calls her over, commits adultery with her. She gets pregnant. And so then he kills her husband, sends him into battle, has his captain of the armies help him along with this. And so now he commits adultery, not only slothfulness, laziness, but he also was unfaithful to his wives, caused her to be unfaithful, and he commits murder. And David knew that eventually he would have to go to the Lord for cleansing, and eventually Nathan comes and confronts him. And David went to Jehovah Mekadeshim, which means Yahweh sanctifies me. You see, not only does he cancel sin, but he breaks the power of sin. Because if he doesn't change us from the inside out, we'll continually go back to that sin over and over and over again. And so he has to cleanse us. And he said that's what he meant by, "Thou anointest my head with oil." What he was remembering then was when he became king and Samuel poured that flask over him. But you know something about us in the New Testament? We are all kingly priests. God has anointed us, every one of us, when we are in Christ as his princes and princesses. We are all royalty. And God will not have any sons and daughters that have sin in them. He will take that out. He will be like a fuller soap and cleanse us. And finally, the last thing in order to survive, we need a leader. And I use a cross. Because there's much more to survival than just having things. We need a leader in order to do this. We need to know where to put our loyalties. It's essential that you know who to follow in order to survive. I mean, who are you going to follow? Where's that Garcia guy of Grateful Dead? You want to follow him? Guess where he is? He's in the grave. Now he knows all his stupidness. Who do you follow? Some basketball star? Some actor? Money? Whatever? You got to choose your leader carefully. David said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You see, he had been a shepherd, and he knew that he had to follow the right shepherd, because any other shepherd would lead them into destruction. So he knew him as Jehovah Rohi, which means Yahweh is my shepherd. You can survive in this world. Not just make it, but you can overcome. But the only way that you will survive in the craziness, wilderness of this world is to follow the only one who truly loves him. And I would like to tell you who this is. Summarize all these crazy names that I said to you in Hebrew. His name is Jesus Christ. And when you have Jesus Christ living in you, you can face whatever it is that life throws at you. You actually will be able to survive. You will be clean. You will have direction. You will have all the things that you need. And I hope today that you will begin following the only one that is worth following. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the survival manual. We ask now, Lord, that each person here would stop following their own ways, that you would put them on the right paths, that you would clean them and heal them and help them to follow the only one that's worth following. And if there's anybody here that has never given a chance or given the Lord a chance in their life, if you're tired of just crawling on, hanging on by your fingernails, you're welcome to come and follow the Good Shepherd. His name is Jesus Christ. We do love you, Lord, and we follow you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.